Welcome to Spiritually Fierce, the podcast. I am your host, Dr. Ricky Jane Adams, principal and founder of the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence and creator of the Spiritually Fierce movement. Spiritually Fierce is not just a phrase. It is a movement of awakening consciousness of which we are all a part, if we want to be. In each episode, we'll explore what it means to be spiritually fierce, how to become it, and why it is the revolution in consciousness that will save the world. Join me and my fierce guests for deep conversations on spirituality beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the new age that will support you to increase your power to serve. Welcome everyone to Spiritually Fierce, the podcast, season 3, and our theme this season is transformation, and I am very honored to be joined by graduates of the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence. And not only graduates, today we have the delightful Stacey Webb, who is currently in our postgraduate program, qualifying as a spiritual director. And we only just started, and I'm very grateful that you've jumped into this conversation with me. But even before you joined this particular program, you are just hands down one of the most inspirational women that I know, and probably the most humble whilst doing it, I have to say. So Stacey is an intuitive somatic mentor, which I'll get her to tell us more about, really focusing on that healing, and it, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but particularly through the nervous system combined with accessing deep states of intuition, what we call intuitive intelligence. And, you know, really specializing in, I see the way that you're doing it, bringing together lots of beautiful different tools to bring people into a state of thriving and living beyond whatever has happened to them in this life. I hope that feels like a fair assessment. So, yes. Stacey, my darling, I'd love for you to begin by, I guess, where did this particular career of intuitive somatic mentor begin for you? Why did you go, yep, that's what I want to be doing with my time?
Yes. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. I love listening to everything you do, hence why I've always been a part of the Institute, but I've been listening to every single podcast episode you've done. So to be on here, I'm really honored. So thank you. So how did I even get to this space? Well, growing up, I've always really wanted to help people. And I've always really wanted that desire to really help support people. And that has really come along from my own traumas that I have experienced when I was younger, including the death of my dad when I was young. And I had this beautiful desire that I wanted to serve the community. And as I grew older and I was in my teenage years, I decided I wanted to be a police officer. I thought that that would be the really beautiful way of how I can support the community, because whenever someone's in that moment of unknown distress or really experiencing various bouts of trauma, they call 000. And most of the time, 90% of the time, it is the police that will come. You might have other emergency services go, but it will always be the police as well. And they're right there in the thick of it. They're in that moment when people are experiencing that fear of the past or in the fear of the future. And I've been able to see how they at times have been able to support them and support their nervous systems whilst they're experiencing that trauma. So I felt that that was really my calling. And when I was in my 20s, when I was 20 years old, I joined the police academy and I became a police officer. And I had a really, just had a beautiful, amazing career of nearly 2 decades in the police force. And I pretty much went up the ranks quite quickly due to the work that I did. And I became a detective probably only 18 months after I joined and became in uniform. So my service was as a detective in investigating crime, and I specialised in sexual assaults and coronial matters. So, you know, people who have passed away and that are reportable to the coroner. And I felt when I was investigating those crimes or deaths, you find yourself really surrounded by people in various states of trauma. And you're really needing to gain certain types of information, and sometimes it's time sensitive. And it was how can I best support them that's also going to best allow me to do my job, because that's ultimately going to support them as well. And we all know when people are experiencing various states of trauma, sometimes people don't speak, sometimes people freeze up, their memory recall is affected. And I really wanted to know, how could I best support them for that? And I don't know about a lot of people, but in the police force, you are not really taught about trauma. You're not really taught how to handle that type of trauma, how to support people with trauma or anything in those type of ways, especially not in that depth in the nervous system that I learn right now. And so I decided to learn that myself. And I've spent over, 12 years studying trauma, studying the nervous system, because that really became vital for me and resonated with me a lot. And went down that beautiful rabbit hole, and I really lent towards the nervous system, because as I am investigating the sexual assaults, and you'll have your victim that will be sitting there and they're second guessing themselves. They're second guessing, why didn't they do something? Why didn't they fight back? Why did they just allow this to happen? Like that's their mind and their processing going in. But ultimately, it was their body that chose that in hopes to protect them and allow them to survive the traumatic incident that they were experiencing. So that's why I really allowed myself to be absorbed into the nervous system, because I knew that it really resonated with me and my traumas that I've experienced. I knew that that would really resonate with my victims and witnesses and really be able to support them. But then as time goes on and I listen to my beautiful intuition, I realize that my service really went beyond that. My service really went beyond investigating, which I very much loved, but it really went on to wanting to serve people and support the community in a very different way. And that's how I led to becoming my own business as an intuitive somatic mentor and supporting people in that way.
What an incredible story. And there's so much I want to pick up on. Undoubtedly your rise through the ranks, but also, everything you're describing, there was an innate part of you, even before you started studying any of this, that I guess had an awareness that you could bring something to people who were in that survival mode, in that trauma. Maybe you use different language early on in your life, compared to what you would be able to understand now. But it sounds very much like you were that person from the beginning, and potentially what you've done to educate yourself and to qualify in other things is what has allowed you to, change the conversation around so many different aspects of that. For your own sustainability, because I'm guessing, yes, you're supporting people in deep trauma in the moment, but as a first responder, how do you sustain yourself and avoid burnout and then potentially becoming, part of the problem? So I don't know if there's a really clear question there. I guess there was that potentially, or was there that awareness that you needed to do things to also support yourself to survive?
Yeah. Well, as I said, like a lot of what I was doing, a lot of it, most of the time really is creating and holding space for the people. When it comes to death and grief and extreme trauma, you'll find that sometimes people get uncomfortable with that. And here you really had to get in that moment with that, for sometimes having to give that death message and be in that room where other people will think it's really uncomfortable as that person's experiencing their full grief in their full raw, vulnerable moment, and be able to create and hold space to allow them to continue to do that. First off, no, I didn't take care of myself, and it really wasn't something that I really thought about. Before I became a police officer, I worked for the coroner. So here in my mind, I thought logically going, I've been surrounded by death and I've seen a lot of death, so nothing's going to affect me. And boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong. And a lot of the times at the very beginning of my career, I pushed it all aside. I pushed it aside, hoping it will go away, that it will just kind of fizzle out by itself. And if I avoided it that much, that it will just, create something amazing. And it didn't. And it really manifested in different things. And I did find myself becoming a very big people pleaser when it came to my time in the police, in that time in growing up the ranks between that, because I'm very good at what I do, and I know I was a really, really great detective. But as a result of going up really quickly, I felt like I couldn't complain about it. So a lot of times my boundaries were really lowered. Any time that I felt that I was a bit overworked, I would kind of push it aside because I shouldn't complain about it, because there's so many other people who would love this opportunity and I got it.
Yeah.
At times, you know, especially being a mother and trying to juggle mother and being a detective, there were many times I know that I really felt that I felt like I had to prove something. I felt like I had to prove that I could still be a great detective and a mother, and that I could juggle it all together. And so anytime a job would come in, yep, I'll take it. Yep, I'll take it. Stacey, can you do this job? Yep, I'll take it. And I found myself just like working myself. And I'm a perfectionist as well, recovery now. But, you know, like I really like things to be thorough. I really take people's, jobs as my babies into, you know, when I'm investigating and doing everything to the best that I can do. And I did burn myself out because I did not take care of myself. And it wasn't until I really started learning about trauma in the nervous system and wanting to help support my victims and witnesses that I then realized, oh, my God, I need this for myself.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until, and you know, your service is your medicine, and you know, quite often for first responders, we really want to help other people. And sometimes we help other people and put ourselves to last, you know, motherhood as well. We do all those things. And it wasn't until I was doing this to help others and realizing how much that was actually supporting them, and then also really understanding the resonance that was coming within myself to go, oh my God, I need this for myself.
Yeah.
I need support in this. My nervous system is completely dysregulated than this. And I was realizing all of these things. You become aware. Once you're awake, you can't unsee it. And I knew that I had to do the work on myself. And as much as at that point then of wanting to support others, you can only really support others as much as you're willing to go to yourself as well. So I really had to tie things in and do the work with myself as well.
I love that. And yes, you know, as you were speaking, I'm like, my service is my medicine, right? There's a reason that you've ended up as an intuitive somatic mentor, because you were the first recipient, or you needed to be the first recipient. Our service is our medicine, is our mantra. And it's often how we know we're on the right track. I think in a world full of options of what we could study, or different ways of thinking about somatics and the nervous system and intuition, you know, you went towards what you needed to receive. And that is how we know we're on the right track. And I would love for you then to, I guess, fast forward a little bit. I mean, there's so much in that. I will just say, and we'll talk about it at the end, Stacey has written an incredible book called The Intuitive Detective, one of two books that she has sitting behind her right there, and we'll share the links to those. So if you want more of that very amazing story of being that first responder in that context as a detective, you so beautifully share that. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to avoid that conversation, because that's juicy and amazing too, but I really want to get into, okay, so at what point then, trauma, nervous system, get it, you know, burnout, avoidance, first responder, it's gonna, you know, these things are essential. How did intuition come into that conversation? And what is the link for you between intuition and nervous system regulation?
Yeah. So as I was recognizing that I needed to do the work myself and really needing to go deep, I spent a lot of time in my backyard. I love my backyard. I'm back onto bushland, and I have this beautiful jacaranda tree in my actual backyard before the bush. And I love sitting in front of it. I found it a really great supportive grounding for myself. And it was very supportive for me during lockdowns and everything else. And it was there when I sat in that tree and I was sort of going, asking myself the questions, and I guess it was asking myself, it was asking God, asking the infinite, asking, you know, cosmos, whatever it would be, and just sort of sitting there and going, like, what am I doing? How can I support myself? How can I best support me, knowing that then I can really support others? And it was coming through going, you've got to attune more into intuition. And, you know, that sort of kept coming through in various little ways of translating its symbols and everything to me. But that was always the main message was, you've got to hone in, attune more, trust, you've got to follow your intuition. And, you know, I've always very felt myself to be intuitive growing up. And there was a very big time in my life that I dismissed it because it scared me so much. Recognizing all of that, and I realized that there was various parts, you know, in the past few years, as I, especially, you know, with policing, motherhood, everything else, that message had been coming through quite a lot. Whether I was taking it on board or not, taking it on board a little bit, dismissing it in others, and I sort of went, well, you know what, everything's coming through. I've been doing what, you know, I've now honing in on myself, I'm supporting myself, I'm supporting my nervous system, I'm doing the work to support my own healing journey. This, I've got to continue forth with these messages. And that's how it led me to the Institute. I don't remember how I found you, but I found you, which I'm always glad. And that's how I found the Institute. And back then you had to do the initiate, or whether it was through you or through a teacher before you could do the third level. And so, you know, I found a really great teacher, Tina Bruce, who's absolutely amazing. And I waited until she had her next intake, knowing that there were many other intakes that were coming in from various places, but it was no, she's the one that needs to be for me. She's my teacher right now.
Already on it. Yeah. And
yeah.
He's amazing. Another fellow author, but also someone who has really helped, I guess, understand that relationship between the body and intuition.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we say obviously in the Institute, and this is undoubtedly your lived experience, you know, even sitting with that beautiful grandmother Jacaranda and receiving her medicine, and intuition does not land into an unprepared vessel, right? And our biology is the technology of our intuition. I would love for you to sort of share your wisdom on that. Like, what is the relationship between the nervous system and intuition, or the body and intuition, or how do you explain it to others?
Yeah, you know, when I'm working with the nervous system, it's not always making you regulated and making you feel calm and that. But what it really is about building or even creating and cultivating that safety within the nervous system. When we're able to do that, we're able to expand, we're able to build that capacity, and we're able to feel like we're able to handle those little bits of stresses of everyday life, sometimes perhaps handle a little bit of a bigger stress, and knowing that we can support ourselves back into a supportive, regulated state that allows that capacity to be. But what also ultimately happens, and what I believe happens, is the portal to our heart is actually more open. It's not covered or smothered with fear and everything else that's there that's blocking it. We're really allowing that channel to open. You know, our heart is this beautiful portal into our intuition as well. And when that channel is open, that portal is open, you're going to start hearing it more. You're going to start receiving those intuitive nudges more. And that's that beautiful journey then into, you know, your awakened journey, or going deeper into your awakened journey in listening, honing in your intuition and strengthening it, attuning it, following it, trusting it, you know, and all of that, you know, comes across at times of, you know, having little bits of fears along the way. But again, when we support the nervous system, we can allow that capacity to happen for allowing that ebb and flow and understanding and translating your own intuition at the same time. So yeah, when we support our nervous system and allow that safety to be created for capacity, you know, the portal to our intuition really becomes clearer, and that, you know, transmission becomes louder for you to hear.
Yeah. And undoubtedly you've had a life where you recognize what happens when that intuition is not being allowed to come through. I want to just pick up on something you shared, because I feel like it's a really important distinction perhaps to how a lot of people talk about the nervous system. And I'm going to give it to you and you can tell me if I got it right or wrong. So more than even creating regulation, it's about creating that somatic safety so that there is capacity to sit with the big feelings, including the traumas and the fears, to process them and then ultimately open the heart and deepen into intuition. Is that a summary based on what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much based summary. So what we're doing is when we you can't work on fear and trauma unless the nervous system feels somewhat safe. Otherwise, we're just re-traumatizing ourselves. We need to build and cultivate that safety. And for some people, they perhaps have never felt that safety before. We've got to build it, or we've got to help cultivate it if they've been able to feel it at some point. And that obviously goes with, you know, a lot of beautiful investigating within yourself. But when we're able to build that, what we're doing is we're ultimately building a flexible autonomous nervous system. We're able to build that capacity that allows that flexibility, that agility. So when we have those everyday stresses, it's not going to feel like it's ruined your whole day, your whole month, your whole year. We're able to go, okay, this has happened. You know, how can we support our nervous system, be with our feelings, allow the loop of that emotional that emotion to complete its loop, allow it to discharge from the body. And that's not saying, you know, you remove the fears and traumas that you have experienced, but what it's doing is allowing you to still be able to live that beautifully, fully embodied life that you are. It's your birthright to be here for. It's allowing you to make beautiful decisions, conscious and supporting your unconscious decisions, to make those decisions out of love, not out of fear, to make those decisions where those fears and traumas are not in the driver's seat, making those decisions. And that, you know, sometimes can take a little bit of support. Sometimes it can take a little bit of support in building that safety, to build that flexibility, to build that capacity, but it's definitely there. And it's this beautiful thing of that reminder that we are never broken, at times when we feel like we are, at times in the darkness and feeling because we've experienced something or something's happened really badly to us, that therefore we don't deserve to have a great life. And that's hopefully where my work can be supportive in, to go, actually, no, you are still very much loved. You are not alone in the world with that, and you are always held, and let's support you, you know. And again, yeah,
I love
intuition
that.
Can always come in to support that.
Yeah, well, you know, the way I teach intuition and we learn it in the Institute is that it is ultimately that correction of perception from I am alone, finite, broken, you know, whatever the stories are, to I am one with the one mind, to that unified consciousness. So when that shift can happen within us, it's like a two-way street. It then precipitates or allows the conditions for that healing in the body, as well as then, you know, opening to deeper states of intuition. So it's like it's a feedback loop going in both directions. And I think that's why your work is so exciting, because there's a lot of people who talk about trauma, a lot of people who talk about somatics and nervous system regulation, but to bring it to that point of, okay, well, what is ultimately the shift in perception that will create a new set point? It is that, okay, I changed my mind about myself. I am not this isolated fragment. I am connected to oneness. And when you get that and you feel it, you can't forget it, right?
Yeah. And it's really just supporting that 3D world, as well as helping that beautiful bridge into the 5D world, and allowing it to all coexist together, and allowing intuition and somatics to beautifully complement each other, and know that they don't have to be separate, because, you know, we are all one, we are all inherently connected, and so are those two.
Yeah. Do you find then, I mean, I feel like I'm asking silly questions, but I'm so intrigued.
No, never a silly question.
It feels like there would be more efficiency by bringing in the intuition piece to this conversation, because it's like you're not then just relying on the 3D biological aspects. You know, do you find with your clients that they can make leaps perhaps beyond what we might expect if we're working in a purely, you know, biological nervous system way?
Definitely. I mean, I've seen that with my clients. You know, I've had clients who, you know, have been previously, or in, you know, still whilst working with me, had been seeing a counsellor, psychologist, and in the past perhaps other, you know, somatic therapists. And, you know, the work that they've done with me, a lot of the responses that have come back is, just after, you know, this particular session or this time that we've worked together, and I would never have felt like I could do that in the past. And the great big leaps and bounds that they've made, not only, you know, for their own particular trauma, if that's what they were wanting to work on, but in their life, in how they feel about themselves, that beautiful recognition on themselves and how they're actually living their lives now. It's most of the time, it's always a completely different person, if not transitioning into that person. So it's a beautiful thing to witness. It's a beautiful thing and a privilege to be in that space, to be a part of their support team, to witness that beautiful journey and to see those moments of those clarity moments when they get their beautiful aha moments, when they're starting to translate that beautiful intuitive guidance that's coming within, where they're understanding what their body is saying to them, that beautiful body wisdom that we have, and how the different states of where they may be within their nervous system, and then not being afraid of that. And looking at that with that beautiful curiosity, without that without non-judgment, and leaning into that fear, knowing that's going to be supporting them, and that fear is actually a message within itself. So
I love that, and you speak so beautifully on it. I want to bring something slightly different in. One of the things I always admire about you, and have always done so, is, you know, you walk a number of different paths, you know, in addition to professionally, but there's a lot of different roles that you play, I guess. How did you find the courage, or what was it within you that gave you the confidence to go, not just, okay, I'm a police officer who wanted to start talking about trauma in the first place, and maybe we should learn about this stuff, to, hey, I'm going to be an intuitive in this space, right? What was it that made you, I guess, go so confidently towards that? Because it seems from the outside like you're absolutely fearless in that regard of bringing these very disparate worlds together.
I thank you, but I can assure you there was a lot of fear in every step of the way. As I said, 2 decades of being a first responder, I joined like just after turning 18 type thing. I think I was 20 when I was in the police academy, and I was very conditioned, you know, I was very conditioned and institutionalized in believing that I could only ever be a cop, that my skills were not transferable in any other way, that if I was to do something, it would never succeed because this is the only thing that I know and would be good at, and the only thing I could ever go to. You know, sometimes then you feel like people may not really understand you from the things that you see. So, you know, your friendship circles might slightly start to change. And I found that I really didn't really have a lot of friends outside of the police force. And the ones that I did, I never really saw them that much. And that was because of me, not because of them. And so as I was bringing out all these different things, I met a lot of fear because, number one, how could I talk about my own mental health and my own trauma? You know, there was back then a lot of stigma around police officers talking about their mental health. But at the same time, I saw so many of my colleagues being severely affected by their mental health, where they couldn't work as a police officer anymore. Some of them could never work at all anymore. And some of them are not here in physical form anymore as a result of their mental health from the police. And it was looking at that going, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. And if I'm not like that, what else do I need to do? I need to speak. I need to be a leader in that front end and do these things. And it was absolutely scary. And I felt that fear every step of the way, especially when I wanted to branch out and have this service, as, you know, even having a service outside of the police to start with, let alone something that starts with intuitive at the front, I really, really had to come out of my spiritual closet in that aspect. But for me, it was really breaking away from the identity of being a police officer, because, you know, as much as I hated that I was linked to being a police officer, there was a part of me that also secretly loved it. You know, how many times, you know, I turned up to a party or met people and, here, Stacey, that's the cop, or that's the detective. I was always referred to that. Whenever someone's in trouble, I'm the first person they call. And sometimes I felt that was the only time they called me, when they needed that advice. But as much as I hated it, I also loved it because I felt that that was my only connection to people. And I really had to meet that fear and release that fear to go, I'm actually more than that. But it was a really, really scary step. I really had to break away from that identity. I really had to step away and go, "That yes, that is me, but this is now all of me. And there was actually parts of you that I never showed you. And now I'm unmasking that and I'm breaking away from the mold that, you know, people perhaps may have seen me as, perceived to be as, and for myself as well, and to break away from that." And there was so much fear along the way. Yeah.
But you did it anyway. And I guess yes. That's what I'm bowing down to and honoring is that, you know, to bring this work into any kind of mainstream context takes great courage. And yeah, it just feels so amazing to know that someone like you who has walked between 2 or 17 worlds is willing to do that. And I think it shows for all of us that we can be part of a mainstream conversation and take ourselves seriously and legitimately and bring it to the world with as much confidence as you would say, I'm a police detective, right? You know, I'm an intuitive somatic mentor. I am this. So we will leave it there. We undoubtedly could talk for days. And as I said, Stacey has the Intuitive Detective. If you do want to know more of her very compelling personal story and journey, it's a multi-award winning book. Stacey has done incredible things with it. She also has the Foundations of Tapping. And we'll share the links to that as well, because they're just incredible resources for everybody. I'm so excited that our journey continues, that you did find the Institute, that you do, you know, take intuition as much part of your service as all the other pieces, because I'm with you. We need to be unafraid of that part of ourselves. And it's, yeah, always a joy to get to spend time with you, my darling. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.